Just enjoy your boutonnieres.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. We are northeast, baby. Foxborough, Massachusetts. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm doing well. I'm looking at the Saga Hibachi Seafood Sushi Bar.
Shout out to Saga Hibachi Seafood Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a photo, B. It's
take
pretty
photo.
Cool that we're able to set up. So B's staying at a nice hotel. I'm staying at a Residence Inn in the woods. About 10 minutes.
Same company owns both of them.
Sure. My Wi-Fi just connected because it's Marriott Guest, baby. But it is pretty damn cool, the setup around Gillette. Like, on a non-game day. Yesterday was packed because they had the joint practices,
give us a,
right?
A preview of what it may look like in D.C.
Yeah, man. Like, this hotel is, I don't know.
It's about 400 yards yeah.
away from the stadium. And the vibe here, like, on a non-game day, they got all these little shops and restaurants. And, like, you can just come over here. It's just, like, it's kind of like Nats Park on mm-hmm. a non-Nats game day. Like, it's just
yeah, exactly.
part of the area. And honestly, being here has me excited for RFK. RFK is going to be so dramatically different because it's going to be in an urban setting.
Yeah.
But you can make it work where there's a stadium right there and there's a hotel right next door. And, like, looking at this hotel, these people aren't here because of the practice or the game.
Like, hell no.
This is just business people or whatever. Like, you're
well,
just...
they expect 20,000+ people to be around starting tomorrow.
Oh, I bet.
Early on.
I bet, man. So. I mean, even yesterday, you know, I had dinner at that Davios restaurant, which is quite good. Shout out to Davios. I had one martini, I'll have you know.
Okay.
I worked a pretty long day. We had...
You worked enough to get four or five of them.
And then finally sat down for dinner, got an 8-ounce steak, Lamphill.
And ate all of it. Can you believe that, Lamphill?
I finished my steak and Mitch Tischler did not. Bang.
Mitch probably got a 24-ounce.
Nah, but he got a hearty meal, man. He got, like, short ribs. You know how I love short ribs. They're usually served on mashed potatoes with, like, gravy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fall-winter meal to me. Yeah, that's not a yeah. summer meal.
You're frozen. You look a little weird, Jay.
I look good on mine. That might be you, dog.
Well, you're frozen on mine. You look weird, Jay.
But yeah, I look weird a lot, man. I've come to own that. But, Brian, two things. One... So driving over
you're on Marriott, I guess you need to get on Lobby. Lobby is a stronger one.
You know what? I'm actually on Gillette Stadium.
That's why it's messing up, Jay.
Dude, White Brian, do I look good or is Brian the problem?
I was looking at you. You were the one that was throwing
no,
me.
No, it's B. Mitch's problem.
Oh, point Finley. One thing that was super bizarre is B has had trouble with the stream a lot lately. I've been good. Yesterday, you were streaming your ass off and I couldn't get it connected the entire time.
Yeah.
All right, so two things stood out to me, and I want to address the first one relatively quick. The Nationals won a game last night. Huzzah. I'm glad they were able to beat the Athletics, right?
Yeah.
The Nats are just in a train wreck of a season, and it's pretty awful to watch, honestly. I mean, they gave up 16 the other night. They did win a game last night 2-1, so I don't want to dunk on them too hard. But the Nats right now are 23 games under 500. They fired their coach. They fired their GM, even though those guys aren't the problem. And I'm sure the Nats people that hate me will get on me about that. But I'm driving over here this morning, and I like listening to sports talk radio when I'm in other cities just mm-hmm. to kind of get the tone of the fans, right?
Yeah.
The Red Sox had a 7-game win streak until I bet on them last night, and they lost
you
to
are the – You are the cooler.
They lost to the Royals last night. But the Red Sox are 12 games over 500, 8-2 in their last 10. They're 17 games over 500 playing at Fenway. The Red Sox are one of the hottest teams in baseball. Like, them and the Marlins right now are red hot. And these people emailing in to the sports talk I was listening to this morning, I think I was listening to Tucker and Hardy. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Red Sox fans were furious.
Oh, yeah.
Furious.
Yeah.
Imagine if people cared about the Nats like that. Because the Nats season has been such a disaster.
Yeah, I've been to several cities where the sports is very, very brutal.
I'm sure.
You know, and like sometimes we'll be just.
I mean, you played what, 3 years of Philly?
We'll discuss
right.
the game, not even critiquing. We're just discussing what transpired. And there are fans that are like, oh, y'all being too hard on them. No, we're not. I mean, there are places where they actually, the hosts are shooting straight vitriol at the team, and then when the fans call in, it's way worse. So I mean, if they think we are ever being real bad, just turn on any other station,
right?
In any other city, you'll find out we are very, very mild.
Well, here's okay. So that was the first thing I wanted to address, and it's probably not a surprise that Boston fans are more hardcore about the Red Sox than Washington fans are about the Nationals. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a surprise, right? But it got me thinking about the fans, and it got me thinking about my mentions last night and the silliness surrounding the reporting, if you will, of yesterday's practice.
Uh-huh.
We are talking about practice, to yes. quote the great Allen Iverson. And fans on both sides, Commanders and Patriots, are in such a rush to pronounce who won a practice.
Who cares?
Here's a secret. It's practice. Nobody wins. It was a practice.
Yeah.
And I think you and I watched everything. And we had the advantage of being up top where we could see both fields going concurrently.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you the truth. For the reporters that were down on the ground, I've been in these situations. You generally have to pick one side or the other to watch.
Yeah.
Like when we had Dave Richard from CBS Sports join us, he said, I got to tell you the truth. I pretty much watched the Pats starting yeah. offense against yeah. the Commanders defense.
It's hard to watch both of them on the same level.
And so by the time both teams were on the same field and there was just that one bit of action, those red zone drills late in the practice session, that was 10% of a two-hour practice?
Wasn't even 10%.
5% of a two-hour
yeah, yeah.
practice?
He did about 15, 16 periods.
Yeah.
And they were there for 2 hours, and the whole 2 hours was not on the field, actually.
It was 15 periods.
Yeah.
It was 15 periods, and that was one of them.
Yes.
So somebody can do the math, should they choose. And in that period, it was only the ones, 50% of it.
Yeah.
Like Drake May and then Jaden Daniels for one drive, and then it was, I believe, Johnson and Josh Dobbs for the other drive.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the amount of people that are like, man, you're wrong. You know, the Patriots defense was getting to Jaden. For starters, Jaden wasn't running yesterday. Remember that little throwaway he had
yeah.
on what looked like a 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4,
mm-hmm.
and he just threw it out of bounds? You know what happens in a real game? Gain a 7 first down.
Well,
Jaden just runs to the right side.
Who's the one telling you that they were getting to Jaden? Our fans?
No. Like, what I'm telling you is, so I tweeted out last night the podcast Mitch and I recorded, right? I said, Jaden Daniels carved up the Patriots today, but late in the joint practice doing red zone drills, it was clear one thing was missing, Terry McLaurin. I think that was pretty damn obvious when they were looking for a contested catch in the end zone. It wasn't
and
there.
Nobody caught one.
And then all these Pats fans are replying to me, and I don't care. I get replies.
But see, what I keep telling you, you got to understand one thing. It's Pats fans.
But then Skins fans are fighting with them about who won practice. I think everybody I my takeaway from yesterday, that was really good work for two teams that needed it in early August.
And that's what you hear players saying.
Right.
Great work. And I think there were times where Drake May looked outstanding against our defense,
yeah.
and times he didn't. There were times when they would get to him and just let him go. Because one thing, if anybody knows anything about practice, let me just explain to you. You're not hitting the quarterback. You're not grabbing him and holding on to him. You just run past him. You know, the quarterback knew he would have been hit. The coaches know he would have been hit. Or at least you would have been bothered. You wouldn't have been easy to just stand and throw the ball. They run past him. But he throws the ball down the field and somebody catches it and the crowd lose their mind. It was a sack. There are times, same thing happened with Jaden. So if you don't understand, it's like fans, like sometimes you don't want to ever disrespect them, but sometimes you got to just tell them the damn truth. I watch fans cheer for a quarterback running in 7-on-7, okay? That means you don't know a damn thing about football. And I obviously know that a quarterback running in 7-on-7 is the dumbest thing in the world. You have no damn lineman there, nobody blocking, so it's the last thing a coach wants to see. So when you cheer for something like that, it tells me you know nothing. That's why I just move on with it. I don't care.
Totally. My takeaways for practice yesterday, and I'm curious if you tell me where you disagree. What I thought was really good was Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
I thought Tunsil looked dominant. I thought Zach Ertz looked fantastic. I think there are questions about the Commanders' ability to rush the passer from the edge.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't know how much real looks at edge rushing you got yesterday. Like, you know what they're not going to do yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
An exotic blitz. Like, yesterday's about early season work, and I think there are questions for Washington, right?
Yeah. Like, in one-on-one drills, pass rush, I saw Von Miller easily get past people constantly. But what you're looking at here, this is nothing where you're scheming. If you go into a game, you know that their left tackle or their right tackle sucks. You're going to set your best pass rusher on that guy. You're going to run some type of zone blitz. You're going to run some twists
some
or whatever
stunts, right,
to confuse the hell out of him. If you got a guard or a center that's weak, you're going to attack that. It's not just off the edge every time. And it's not going to be consistent every time. Like, as Joe Witt says all the time, and I totally believe in this, you don't rush by one. You rush as a team.
Totally.
And if everybody does their job properly, then you can get to those people.
Well, I have a theory, dude. One, I think Boston people, I think New England sports fans are extremely territorial. And I think the mindset up here, like the people I know that are Massachusetts people, tend to be pretty aggressive. They're just an aggressive bunch of people.
Well, I was walking around last night. I totally was amazed and blown by how nice they were.
Sure.
You know, normally you don't get that.
Right. And I think that's the difference in a practice and a game day. But I think in general, the folks up here are really passionate about their sports teams. And I think Chicago, and I wasn't expecting this, but I think New England a little bit, because of the way last year's draft went, QB, 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 they're all searching for answers. The other fan bases are searching for answers that their guy's as good as the guy Washington got.
Yeah. But the thing about it is this area also understand. Like, when I was talking to the lady and her husband yesterday, was right behind us.
Yeah.
They were cool as hell. And she was like, hey, we used to win a lot of stuff. I said, hell, y'all won a lot.
Right.
Celtics, Red Sox finally got over the hump. You know, Bruins, and also the Patriots. I said, but yeah, the Patriots got to get back. She said, yeah, we're a long way from where we were. That's somebody telling you the truth. But everybody else are still cheering, just very similar to what Washington does. A lot of Washington's pride comes from the past.
Sure.
A lot of these new Patriots fans who jumped on because Tom's gone now. And it hadn't been good since Tom left. So what are you really cheering about?
Totally.
Are you telling us about today or are you telling us about yesterday?
I have a theory, though. I think multiple things can be true. If anybody watched practice yesterday and didn't think Jaden Daniels, there's 100, 290s is 180, right? There's 180 football players out there yesterday, 290-man rosters. Jaden Daniels was the best player on that field out of all 180 people by a pretty healthy margin, I would say.
I agree.
Jaden is phenomenal. He's a special, special talent, and he's chill, and he's cool, and he's super competitive. Like, he is the super rare breed that you hope to find. Like, he's one of one. I also thought Drake May had a pretty good practice. I thought there were signs from Drake May that were pretty darn encouraging. And both those things can be true. And I don't understand why people have to be so divided. And, like, I'm cool with the Pats. I like it up here. Davios, Saga Hibachi Seafood, this Renaissance Hotel. Like, we're at, like, a little cornhole set here. Like, I'm cool with things up here. The Commanders and the Patriots are not rivals. They play generally, like, once every 4 years. Like, I hope Drake May has a very successful career.
Uh-huh.
I think it's also crystal clear that Jaden's better. Maybe over time that changes. I don't really expect that to, but I can allow for that possibility. Here's my theory, B. The Pats last year were a disaster. They went 4-13. They had a
couple of those four wins, which come 1-1.
Right. Yeah. they had a team. They had a coaching staff that was put in an unfair position, where they were inexperienced on all sides of the ball.
Yeah.
And ownership kind of threw them under the bus halfway through the year. You got a rookie quarterback you're trying to break in. Like, all these things. Like, for New England, maybe the last year of Belichick, but then last year was a disaster, right?
Yeah.
So who do you get? Mike Vrabel. You know what Mike Vrabel's going to do? run a good professional football organization.
Yeah.
So that team yesterday, they ran hard. They practiced hard. They looked efficient. And I think the Pats fans, after last year's disaster and the year prior's disaster, are just so fired up to have what looks like professional football operations again that they want to, like, beat their chest about it. I think
have fun with it.
I think they were, like, impressed with how they looked yesterday. That's great. It doesn't.
I really don't care. They can do. They can have all the fun they want. But you're not gonna sit up here and take a dump on our guy.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, come on now. Hey, let's just say this: the NFL thought our guy was better last year, and so far this year, I was thoroughly impressed with him. Hell, we gave Drake May credit upon credit yesterday. If you can't make it for yourself, Pats fans and some other fools out there, if you can't make it upon yourself to say the truth about somebody, to hell with you. Keep moving.
It's interesting. I don't know exactly kind of where it comes from, but, like, if I could make one broader suggestion, is don't look for winners from a joint practice. These are controlled practice sessions where the coaching staff is trying to get very specific looks at things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is anybody declaring winners during the two periods they did on punt coverage, on punt block and punt return? Because I'll be honest, I watched it. I don't know that I could declare a winner on that. Could you?
Nah.
Like, chill, everybody. Chill. I am very excited. We have London Fletcher joining the show. When we come back, we'll have two future Hall of Famers on the radio. Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I wish B was on the stream right now because the way your glasses were on was pretty damn funny.
Like, hey,
yeah.
Yeah, I just tried to throw them on just to see through them.
If you are – I don't know how big this Venn diagram is. I know a lot of people listen to the radio program. If you listen to the radio program and you're in the Foxborough area, come hang out. Me and B are holding it down on this little patio outside the Renaissance Hotel right next to Gillette Stadium. Come say what's up. I do have to point, this is a beautiful hotel, beautiful facility right next to the stadium. Mm-hmm. They call this hotel the Renaissance Boston Patriot Place.
Uh-huh.
This ain't Boston. We're a solid, this is like DC Prime in Ashburn. I love that restaurant, but that ain't DC.
Yeah, but that's how they name it.
I get it. But dude, when I was driving over here this morning and I put Renaissance in my phone I kind of knew the directions, but I was like, oh, man, the Boston one threw me for a loop. Right now, really excited to welcome on to the program future Hall of Famer,
Fletch.
Mr. London Fletcher. What's up, London? How are you, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing, man?
We chilling. How you feeling, man? You made it to town yet?
I'm doing great. I'm getting in town later this afternoon. I will say this, man. I appreciate you guys' broadcast yesterday because I felt like I was in New England at the practice, man. JT working on his kind of quote-unquote play-by-play. that was great, man. I'm glad you guys were able to share that with us.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate
that, dog. That was, I tweeted out the podcast link to that hour. That was fun. Like, getting to watch football, I mean, you two played it at an incredibly high level, but watching football in that capacity and being able to report on it is the absolute joy of my career. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Fletch, one of the things that B and I were talking about, like, a lot of fans are trying to find a winner from yesterday's practice. Like, how silly is that?
You know
notion?
Who the winner was? The winner was Larry Tussle when he threw the guy off the sideline. That was the winner.
Did somebody find that video yet? Is there any video footage of that?
The team has it, but I don't think they're going to post that.
They haven't posted it yet, but you know, London, when the tackle blocked the guy under the bench, that's what he did.
Oh, yeah, that's embarrassing, man. And the thing I'll tell you this, as a defensive player, you don't want you're dreading going in that meeting room and seeing that be put up on the film and for all your teammates to see it. That's like, oh, my goodness, that's adding insult to injury. But I will say, it's tough to say who won in a situation like this. I think from a coach's standpoint, they were pleased that they got some great work against another opponent.
Yeah.
Got to see some different looks, go against different schemes that you haven't seen, and you grow accustomed to going against the same scheme, same guys so often. They've been going at it against each other since OTAs and minicamp. So it's just great to get work against another opponent, to get the different situational work, whether it's red zone, 2-minute drills, all the different scenarios that the teams want to accomplish, the special teams aspect, all those different things are great tools, and they benefit both teams. So there's no real loser in this situation.
Yeah, yeah. Tyson, what are you going to be focusing on tomorrow in the game? I mean, everybody look at different positions. I'm looking at the big guys. I want to see what they can do. Because I know most of the starters won't be playing, but I want to see who's going to be the backups, because, hell, they're going to eventually have to play sometime during the year.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think there's a lot more depth along the offensive line. With we got a couple guys who were starters from a season ago. Now they'll be, in backup situations, quote unquote, so to speak, once Sam Cosmi gets back from injury. But just I want to see the young guys, the new additions. Obviously, whether it's some of the young safeties or young cornerbacks. I'm sure, we'll get an opportunity to see Trey Amos play a lot.
Yeah.
In the preseason game with him being a rookie. McCade Madrano, want to see how he performs under the light. The tackling, heard a lot about Bill Merritt. Want to see him and how he executes in a real game situation. The guy is explosive, and he's received a lot of praise and rave reviews thus far in training camp. So I want to see really a lot of the young guys, see how they play, not just the rookies, but also a Ben Sennett. See what he looks like in his second year. Luke McCaffrey, what does he look like in his second year? So that's what I'll be mainly focusing on.
Fletch, it's interesting you mentioned Madrano there, because I wanted to ask you specifically about the linebacker spot. I mean, Bobby and Luvu are so established, right? I mean, those dudes are entrenched. There's no questions about their ability or their role. A young player we've all been excited about is Jordan McGee. He was really good last camp, and then he had the injury, and it kind of dogged him for the rest of his rookie season. There was a lot of excitement again for McGee, and then he didn't make the trip, right? Like, he missed a couple practices, didn't make this trip. And it kind of – I mean, this is a cutthroat-ass business. It's kind of opened the door for Madrano to get more reps. Madrano, he's a rookie, but he could cover, man. He's got real speed. What do you think about kind of that next tier of linebackers for Washington?
Well, you hate to see that Jordan is injured and not able to get those practices, the practice yesterday, and also be able to play this preseason game, because as a young player, you want to get as many reps as possible. And you mentioned him dealing with the injury a season ago. But for Kay Madrano, this is an opportunity for him to showcase himself and put himself in a mix to be maybe that third linebacker, or whether it's they view him as a hybrid linebacker, safety type of role. So you just you go out and you take advantage of the situation that you're given. Hopefully McGee is not a long-term injury. It's something that he can get back on the field as quickly as possible. But
sure,
I'm definitely want to see Madrano play.
I tell him all the time, I got my job because somebody else got hurt. And did I feel bad about it? No.
Yes.
That was my opportunity.
Hey. Yeah. Hey, you probably appreciate this. I started the very first game of my rookie season against the San Francisco 49ers. They had Jerry Rice, T.O., Steve Young, all that. They were humming. And it was because the middle linebacker got hurt.
Uh-huh.
And he never got his job back. So that I was a starter for the rest of my career, and I wasn't giving you reps. You barely got a rep in practice from me. let it know some game reps. But injuries happen, and that's just a part of it. But again, I hope Jordan's able to get back quickly so he can showcase his talents, because he's a physical specimen, has a lot of great attributes that you want to see on the football field.
Ask Drew Bledsoe what Tom Brady said.
Right.
When he got hurt, he ain't ever get this job back.
Hey, listen, that reminds me of a story since we're playing the Patriots. I was in Buffalo. No, I was in St. Louis. We played the Patriots in the regular season that year, maybe a couple games after Brady became the starter. And he's scrambling out of the pocket, and Brady, he didn't slide. He, I think a couple of us hit him. And when he gets up, I told him, man, you better get down or Bledsoe going to get that job back. But the Tom's competitive spirit, he gets back up and he's jawing right back at me. So I kind of appreciate that. I was like, okay, I like that. that was funny.
That's awesome. Talking with our friend London Fletcher, you can hear him call Commanders Patriots tomorrow night with Bram Weinstein. Going to be fun to get back to it, and just the football is back. Fletch, I haven't got to ask you this, or at least not on air. Brian got to comment on what it meant for him as a guy that's in that Ring of Fame. What did it mean for you to know Santana's going up in the ring this year as a fellow ring member?
Man, it was one of the, I couldn't think of, there's a lot of great deserving guys, but in terms of the guys that I played with during my tenure in Washington, I couldn't think of another more deserving guy than Tana, just with the way he went about his business, the way he played, not just in, the big games, and we know about the Cowboy Killer. I also call him the Giant Slayer, because if people take a chance to look at some of his stats against the Giants, whether it was with when he's with the Jets or with us, he slays some Giants too. But just the way Tana carries himself and the humility in which he goes about his business. And I've been around a lot of number one receivers, and they're pissed because they're not getting enough balls, or the quarterback, and all the situations that he dealt with that are out of his control. But the way he came out in practice, didn't miss practices, and Tana be out there, he might have, all kind of wraps on his legs and things like that because he may have been dealing with some little injuries, hamstrings or whatever, but he didn't miss practice. He was a great teammate. He's a great ambassador for the team and also for the city. He's entrenched in the community, all the different things that he does with his foundation, 89 Ways. I mean, I've been wondering what was taking so long, and I know, this new regime, new ownership, they've been getting some things done that should have been done a long time ago. But man, it was a thrill, and I was so happy for Tanner. I couldn't wait until he found out because I knew maybe about a week prior to him actually finding out. I was thrilled for him.
Yeah, dude, Fletch, you're not wrong either. So I just pulled up Tanner's career splits, and the team he had the most yards against was the Dallas Cowboys, almost 1,300 yards against the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. But against the Giants, almost 1,100 yards, damn, dude. And
right.
I mean,
a lot of touchdowns.
1,100 yards and 11 touchdowns in his career right. against the Giants. Yeah, damn, yeah. Good call. That's right, good there, stuff, man. and I also pulled up some Fletch numbers, which are just bananas, by the way. Yeah. I love looking at this stuff. Do you know what your career tackle count is?
I do, only because it's been such a, I'm always getting these different posters that are put out. But
sure,
it's 2039, unofficial.
Yeah, man. How about
– unofficial, huh?
Do you know your career –
more, officially there are more.
Yeah, I bet. Do you know your career tackles for loss?
Is it 109?
Yeah, dude, damn, you're good at this. All right, last one. Do you know your career sack total?
I do, because I'm pissed about this. 39.
Why are you 39. Pissed? It's not 40?
Because it's not 40. I mean, it's just not the same.
Sounds like that 4,999, right?
Rogue. I almost went rogue the last game we played against the Giants, the last game of my career. And I was like, man, I should just blitz and get me a sack.
That's funny.
But I just couldn't do it. But, I'm upset I didn't get that 40th sack.
Hey, Fletch, we know that you partnered with AAA and they partnered with the Commanders. Can you tell us a little bit about that partnership?
Yeah. So AAA, they partnered with the Commanders to develop a great new product. It's called the AAA Commanders MVP Membership. And so now, in addition to that trusted value and that peace of mind you get from having a AAA membership, Commanders fans who join will now have access to a lot of great team perks. And you know, just thinking about the peace of mind, I've had two recent situations with my kids, and they both had, like, flat tires. My son, about a month ago, he had caught a flat tire on the freeway, and you know how scary that can be. And
yeah.
I gave him the AAA number. He called him. They took great care of him. So, you know, it's if you don't have a AAA membership, you should, and you absolutely should join the AAA Commanders MVP membership because of all the great team perks that you'll get with that.
That's great, man. All right, last one, but I'm asking Bemis this one.
Hold on. See, JP, I teed you up. You're supposed to ask me what are the great team perks?
See, I'm just,
right over his head, man. Learning. Right over his head.
I'm learning. What are the great perks, London?
I'm glad you asked, JP. you're gonna get a digital Commanders branded AAA membership card. You get 15% off purchases on the official Commanders online team shop. You get entries into regular drawings for game tickets and other VIP fan experiences, which might even involve yours truly. People, if you want to become a VIP member, a AAA Commanders MVP member, you can go to AAA.com/Commanders. That's AAA.com/Commanders. If you're a current AAA member, you can upgrade to the MVP membership for free by visiting that AAA.com/Commanders. And new members who join can also join directly through that shop, through that site.
Well, Fletch, how about this? Do you know that the B. Mitch and Finley AAA poll of the day is brought to you by the AAA Commanders MVP membership?
Yeah.
I love it.
I didn't know we were working Radio Row today. I wasn't like locked in for all my sponsorships. All right, last one.
We were working Fletcher Row.
Yeah, exactly. I'm asking B this. Career interceptions for Fletch.
Oh, wow.
I'm guessing you know it, London.
I don't know. I'm going to go about 12.
Of course I know that. B, come on. Take a guess,
think,
man.
The GOAT. The GOAT. The one and true GOAT. Whose sneakers are you going to wear today on the golf course?
Oh, 23 of them?
23, dude.
Damn. Yeah. Damn, Fletch. Yeah. I didn't know you had hands like that, dog.
23 career interceptions and two pick sixes.
Well, I knew he had one of them because he told me about one of them.
Hey, listen, I'm always teasing Fred Smoot about having more interceptions than him. And I was faster than him. So I was faster than you, Smoot, and I got more interceptions than you.
We might have to work that in next time.
I can't wait till y'all get together. That's the first thing I'm going to talk to him about, Fletch. You know he'll talk the next 2 hours.
Right, exactly.
London, thank you for the time.
Appreciate
you,
brother.
Maybe we'll see you this evening.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys.
Okay. The great London Fletcher. Thank you for the time,
right,
London.
Take care, man.
That was a fun one, man. I cannot – when we get on the road and we get the evening before the game and maybe you don't have to wake up that early, that's the good stuff, man. Thank you to London Fletcher for joining us right there. Got a pretty simple question. I want to get into the B. Mitch and Finley AAA poll of the day next. B. Mitch and Finley 106.7, The Fan, live. Gillette Stadium, Foxborough, Massachusetts. Yesterday, joint practices. Tressway, definitely the winner of the entire session. Tomorrow,
that's funny.
Preseason game one, Commanders, Patriots. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch it. It's interesting as these joint practices really, really kind of grow around the NFL. It creates like an interesting dynamic, dilemma, whatever you want to call it. And I think it makes for a good poll question. Fellas, it's getting hot out here, so our computers are kind of jamming up. So I'm going to need one of you to pull up the poll results there in studio. But the B. Mitch and Finley AAA poll of the day question today is, does the preseason matter anymore? Level up with the new AAA Commanders MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, plus exclusive experiences, discounts, and tickets. Already a AAA member? Upgrade for free at AAA.com/Commanders. What do the poll results say? Does the preseason matter anymore?
It's pretty closely split. We currently have 45% yes, 55% no.
So I think if you make it a straight up binary choice, does the preseason matter? The answer is yes, because there are dudes that will show something to coaches in live game scenarios that will matter towards their roster spot. Mm-hmm. So does it matter? Yes. If you dive in a little more contextually, is it the preferred manner for coaches to get the best look at what their 53 is going to look like? No. They clearly prefer these joint practices. And it's all about control.
They like the joint practices, but I think coaches also understand football shape and that practice shape is two different things. And there are coaches right now who are saying that they're going to play their guys a little bit more in preseason this year from other teams.
Taylor,
because they started off so slow.
Yep.
So it absolutely matters. Okay, if you got a veteran-laden team like Washington does and you had the success you had last year, maybe not for some of those guys to go into the game. They got 90 people. 22 may not play. Guess how many of them playing? 68 of them, right? There are guys out there, the other 68, that can show you may have a 10, 12 battles going on. Who's going to be the guy that's about to show me that he can be the legitimate backup? Maybe this guy here has been doing stuff in practice, and he may falter under the lights. The other guy, we know what he could do, and he may shine under the lights. So it matters to get to those last few people on the team, and special teams-wise, it definitely matters to get your nucleus of that. So I think it still matters. It's just the different ways they do it.
I think that's well said, man. I think – does it maybe matter less than it once did? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Specific to Washington, I had this thought. Is Jaden going to play in the preseason? We saw it yesterday on that side field, right, where Jaden had a very clear first down if he ran for it. He threw it away,
mm-hmm.
playing it smart.
Yeah.
You get him on a game field with the lights on and fans in the stands and a PA announcer and the band is playing. I don't know that he can turn it off, even though he knows it's preseason. I think he might run for that first down right there.
He might, but he probably has to play some. You know, the big argument with everybody like Terry, where they need to work on their timing. Well, they need to work on full speed timing too, because I know people say, well, I went full speed in practice. BS. Full speed in practice is not full speed in the game. It's right. Two totally different
totally.
Things. And you got to work on that timing a little bit, and you'll get it. But you need to get your feet wet just a little, man. Because, like, I think everyone thinks the intra-squad practicing just came about. Hell, we were doing this back in the day while playing four preseason games, some people five. And you still were able to get to a season and play like you played. So I understand, like, we just poo-poo on it and throw it away. It may not be necessary for some guys that are already established, like a Jaden's and a Tunsil's. But there are a lot of people that needs that. And I think you got to keep going with it. And let's be real. The NFL, they love it because they get paid off of it. And they're not paying the players much of nothing during preseason. So they're walking away with way more money than they get during regular season.
Totally. Here's my other question about the preseason. I don't know this answer. I'm going to ask you two questions.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is simple. Do you think Laremy Tunsil plays in the NFL, in the preseason?
Not much. I'll just say this. If five goes on the field, Tunsil's going to be on the field.
That's exactly my point. Do you put five out there without Tunsil?
If I put him out there, he's running quick stuff. I have specific things I want to work on. I would do it like that. But if you don't play him at all in preseason and you start off slow, that's something fans who don't want nobody to play, you got to say, okay, don't worry about it. And the coach got to be cool with it. Because if you don't do some things early, you have to deal with other things later. Don't complain about it later if you're pulling for what you're saying now. That's just the way I look at it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If people – no, everybody wants everybody wrapped in bubble wrap. And if you start off slow, I don't want to hear a complaint.
When we come back, power rankings, B. We haven't done power rankings in a minute, but we're getting there, man. We're standing outside a football stadium. It's time for power rankings.
We got 90 people on teams.
There we go. All right, logistical update. All of a sudden, it's hot as hell in New England.
Yes, it is.
Let's get my phone just turned off because it was, you know, when your phone gets too hot?
Yeah, my computer did that twice.
So we are directly in the sun. It says it's only 77.
They're lying.
Yeah, dude.
It's 77 when you're not standing next to that metal and it's concrete.
Another logistical update. Shout out to Pat Malley, who has a Comrex for us.
Oh,
Pat saving the day, brother. So, Drab, if you're listening, we're all good. You do not need to drive to Boston with a Comrex power cord. I want to get into these power rankings. And in season, we do the power rankings every week. We try to use the same. We use NFL.com just for, like, some level of uniformity. So, today, we're back. Eric Edholm does these every week for NFL.com. Power rankings going into preseason week one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got football on tonight, B.
Yes.
I think Colts-Ravens tonight. You think Lamar's playing?
No.
No way.
No.
But if you're – I believe it's Shane Steichen. If you're coaching the Colts and you got this Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones race to the bottom.
They're playing.
They should,
because
right?
I'm trying to make a decision. Lamar, there's no decision up there.
Right.
But when you have a quarterback battle, they need to play.
Right. All right, we are in power rankings mode. You ready for this, B?
Let's go.
Who's at the top?
The top, the Eagles.
Yep. Who's number two for you?
Number two. You would automatically assume people thinking Buffalo moving up. I'm still going with the Chiefs.
You got the Chiefs?
Hmm?
Eric Edholm says the Ravens.
Until the Ravens get past and get into a Super Bowl and get to the NFC to the AFC Championship game, I don't know how you could constantly just throw them up there. Yes, they've had some runs, but when it comes down to making plays, for some reason, Pat makes them, Allen makes them, they don't.
Yeah, man. The Ravens are a really good team, dude. But until they break through in the playoffs, like, they haven't had playoff success in the Lamar era.
That's what I'm saying.
And I don't know what needs to change there. And last year,
they have to have it.
Mark Andrews should have made that catch, and how different is everything? But he didn't.
He didn't.
You know what I mean? Also, weirdly for Baltimore, man, you know, last year was not Justin Tucker's best on-field season. Then whatever happened off-field, he's off that team.
Mm-hmm.
First time you could say in, I don't know how long he's been kicking up there, 15 years, he has been such a weapon for them. And as much as Lamar will have these crazy games with five touchdowns, they have other games where they just get bogged down in the mud and can't move the ball. And Tucker was such a huge part of that team. He's not there, and that's at least a question.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be more pressure now on the offense and Lamar, because you knew – when you hit from anywhere from 62 in, he possibly going to hit those field goals. For
right.
Them. They now have to go get closer for whoever they're going to have. They have to score touchdowns. You can't depend on the field goal kicker anymore.
I think you might be right that it still is the Chiefs. So, Edholm went Eagles, obviously, then Ravens, Chiefs, Bills. Why I might trust – so, the Bills, I think, just have receiver questions, but they're good.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens – I would almost put, of that top four group, I'd put the Ravens fourth, just because, like, we've seen the movie over and over again, regular mm-hmm. season success and then playoff sputters, right?
Yep.
I think the Chiefs' defense last year was dominant, and I think they tried to get a lot better on the offensive line to protect Pat a little bit more. And if I have to pick, the Chiefs' offense last year was not Chiefs-esque. I don't think Kelce had his best season. He seems recommitted. And, like, if I have to trust one coach out of
all of them.
Yeah, like, Andy to get that offense rebooted, I think I buy into that.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you 100%.
So I think you got a real argument. I, I do think people just sleep on the Chiefs' defense because you always think Mahomes and Kelsey.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Lions?
The Lions is a little troubling to me because you lost both coordinators. They have been good for the last 3 years, per se. It doesn't stay that long. So now you got – they lost some players. They had some injuries last year. You got two coordinators going. You got a whole new mindset. You still have Campbell, but will they be able to get back to what they were? That's the question.
I think as a group, we kind of underestimate what Jared Goff is. Jared Goff's a damn good quarterback.
I like Jared Goff. Totally. I think Jared Goff's a damn good quarterback. He's done the things he did in Detroit. LA. And in L.A., he did take them to a Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, let's not act like the guy had no success whatsoever.
I am not sure. So I watched quarterback, and it was Goff, Cousins, and Burrow. I'm not sure Goff is the sharpest fella, but I think he's a good quarterback. Hey, that's a significant change.
As long as
change.
He can drop back, read that off at defense, and totally. Let that thing fly in the right spots, cool.
And he's got a rocket.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of change for the Lions. Don't forget Frank Ragnow retired in the offseason. You still have Aiden Hutchinson working his way back, although all signs say he looks really good. I'm not counting out the Lions, but that division is good, dude. The Vikings are always going to be well coached. The Vikings defense is damn good. I buy J.J. McCarthy. I think it might be like a second half purchase. I think they'll try to run the ball a lot early and then kind of bring J.J. along slowly. Mm-hmm. I think the Packers are really good and really being kind of like under-talked
about. Will
they be
able to do that, though, with J.J.? Because you got Addison missing three games. You got Jefferson. Two guys that are going to want the football.
Hawkinson.
They're not sitting up there trying to block all day till you get him right.
Right.
He got to throw the ball.
Yeah, that's true. So NFL.com power rankings, preseason week one, they go Philly, Baltimore, KC, Buffalo, then Detroit. Number six, B.
Washington.
Washington.
I can buy it.
I'm reading now from NFL.com, sixth ranked Washington Commanders in the NFL.com power rankings. The Terry McLaurin trade request has taken some of the sheen off an otherwise buzzy offseason. But we've also seen big-name standoffs end in new this offseason. So the panic meter remains pretty low for me. The offense should be great again. I could see the Commanders making incremental improvements from last season on defense, but it's hard to argue that they're tangibly better on that side of the ball. I'd even argue they're a tad bit worse personnel-wise until proven otherwise. Washington made a big statement last season, and it's capable of just as much or more this time around, but it won't come easy. There are some potholes dotting the road right now.
Mm.
If you're just looking at the personnel, if it's a straight-up personnel thing, you lost John Allen and you lost Jeremy Chinn. You brought in a whole – they did not bring in a single player with the pedigree of Allen, but they revamped the entire D-line.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a whole outweighs the parts kind of thing. You bring in Will Harris to replace Chinn. You do add Trey Amos, who I think is going to be a difference maker. I don't know that I would say the defense on paper is better, but I also don't know that I'd say on paper it's worse.
I don't know if they're worse. I would say this. Listening to Joe talk a lot, he talks about being able to do the things he wants to do and people doing the things within the scheme work of what they want to do. I think he believes that they're better. After losing those two guys, he knows the guys he has will do exactly what he wants to get done. And if you have people 100% doing what you want done, and they fit the bill of what you want done, the consistency will be there. Other than guys that will try to, every once in a while, do their own thing.
What do you think Vaughn has left?
I think he has a lot left. Watching him yesterday a couple times, the dude's first step is quicker than all these young dudes. And then Vaughn is a guy who has enough experience where you give him a few chances against the guy, and if it's a young guy, he's going to kill him. Maybe he got to work a little bit more on the veteran guy. But just think about when he was playing last year with six sacks, playing 20% of the games. If he plays 25-30%, you know, and end up playing most of the year, and we know Dan will take care of him, who's to say he can't have 8-9?
And big play sacks.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter strip sacks.
He knows how to bring the hand across the top and rake the ball out.
For all the talk of Buffalo beating Baltimore last year, it doesn't happen if Von Miller doesn't have a 40-yard fumble recovery that he almost house calls.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Going further down the list here, they go rounding out the top 10. The Commanders at 6, Tampa at 7. Tampa is good, man. And Todd Bowles is always going to have a good defense. I think Baker's in the right system, although they have lost another OC now.
Yeah.
Baker's being an OC for Baker Mayfield gets you a head coach a job. Then Green Bay at 8. You wonder receiver-wise what they got, but Matthew Golden, they finally took a first-round receiver. The Rams at 9, the Vikings at 10. To me, Stafford's back, knowing Stafford's track record of playing through injury.
Yeah, but that back injury is going to affect him. You know, he can play through certain little ailments, but you know when the back goes, it goes.
Yeah.
And you get out there, you standing up, you get hit one time, you can just throw a ball and it can kick something off. So that now it's gone this long. At first I thought it was just playing around. Now it's gone this long, I think they got something to be concerned about.
I mean, I tweaked my lower back the other day. It's still hurting me. Like it's not quite waking me up at night, but when I wake up, it's like, oh damn. I don't know, playing football and getting hit all the time.
You know when he was,
Stafford and I are probably about the same age.
You know when Stafford was getting real serious about making sure he get a new deal? Think Stafford didn't know something was already wrong? Let's get this thing done now.
That's a good point.
he was like, look, I'll go there and leave. He went hard to get that deal. And now look what he's dealing with. Hell, you know when it's done.
Right. One team that NFL.com has outside of the top 10 that I think could be really damn good.
Who?
Denver Broncos. They're at 11 on this list.
Yeah. I mean, but who are you going to take out the top 10 and put them in?
I mean, if Stafford's back isn't right.
Now, that's what I'm saying. Now, if the back is right, then you move him in. But if his back is right, are they better than the Rams?
Yeah. I think McVay having Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, and Davante Adams, if he's got able quarterback play,
yeah,
I think that's pretty darn good.
Yes.
There is some irony. Did you watch the receiver show on Netflix, whenever that was, 2 years ago or whatever? Well, it was Davante Adams with the Raiders at that point and just very, very unhappy. And it got to a point where he's like, man, I can't be on the field with Garoppolo. He's trying to get me killed because he'd throw it high and over the middle and Davante was just getting knocked around. You know who the Rams' backup is?
Garoppolo. Hey.
Life has a funny sense of humor, huh?
You ain't lying.
I buy Denver because I think they're well coached. Sean Payton.
He can rub players the wrong way, though, boy.
I think Sean Payton has a very high opinion of himself.
Mm-hmm.
But with full control out there and with just real horses on defense, that kid Batonio is a baller. Mm-hmm. That defense is going to be quite good. And I think he has found. I mean, hell, he took Bo Nix when nobody expected it. Nix has a good rookie season. Clearly, Peyton believes he can get it done with Nix, and I think another year.
But Nix played well last year.
Yeah, dude.
Played very well.
I think Denver could be pretty good. Checking on the rest of the NFC East here. Who do you think? So it was 1 Philly, 6 Washington. I assume Dallas is rated higher than the Giants. Where do you think Dallas lands?
Probably about 21, 2.
I'm scrolling. Made it to 19. Dallas is at 20. You wonder what's going on with Micah Parsons. They got to have Parsons for that defense to be at their best. Dak's coming off this hamstring thing. They did add George Pickens. They keep having fights. Schottenheimer's trying to control that thing. You know my theory with NFL coaches, you have the personnel guys, like just the human motivator type. Then you have the scheme strategy type. Then, unfortunately, there is a third category, which is just like ownership management kind of stooge. They put somebody in place. I don't know the man, and I don't want to besmirch his character, but like to me, Jerry hired Schottenheimer because it's like, all right, like it's my team. He knows it.
Jerry likes running the stuff.
Right.
And he likes – And people that seem to have a backbone, he don't deal with them very long.
At times he has.
If he has, he would have never, ever got rid of Jimmy.
Sure.
And he damn sure wouldn't have got rid of, what's it called, from New York.
Parcells.
Yeah. He got Bill. He wouldn't have got rid of those guys. But he's had a lot of people come around who couldn't find their own way out of a wet paper bag, and he kept them around for a long. Jason Garrett, he kept a long time.
Damn, dude. All right. So the worst team here is Cleveland, right? Cleveland is the 32nd team. I think that's accurate. I don't know what's going to – I mean, we had Daryl Ryder on from Cleveland the other day, and it was not a pretty report about what's going on in Cleveland. At 31, they have the Saints. I mean, anytime you're talking about Spencer Rattler is out playing, you know, your presumed starting rookie quarterback and Shook, that situation looks ugly. But, B, at 30, they got the Giants at 30.
I can see that. Why would you not put them there?
I think the Giants' defense could be pretty good. I could see the Giants winning 7 games.
Okay.
If you could run the ball well, if Russ Wilson gives you enough.
Around 7 games, it's probably about a 30th-ranked team.
Oof. I tell you what, if they're 30th, if they win under 5 games, if they get into December and have I did Pat Leonard's podcast the other day from the New York Daily News. Basically, Leonard is saying, I think the Giants opened, obviously, week 1 in Washington, and then I think they have Dallas at home. There is real concern among the Big Blue faithful. If they can't get a win in those first 2 NFC East games, then they play, I believe it's Chargers and Chiefs, that the Giants are 0-4.
Mm.
Dude, if Daboll opens 0-4.
He might be gone. I know who wouldn't have a problem firing him.
Shane?
No.
Mara?
Mara, because he already told him.
I mean, damn. Another interesting team to me, I like Penix. You like Penix?
I like Penix.
I don't know what that defense is.
His teammates like him too. So.
Yeah. Somebody asked me, I think this might have been at practice the other day. I was talking with some fans about that quarterback show. And they're like, man, why is Kirk in it again? Because Kirk did it 2 years ago when he was in Minnesota, and then he did it again this year in Atlanta. And I have a theory on that. I don't know the answer. Do you want to know my theory?
What's that?
I'm guessing these dudes get paid to go on the quarterback show by Netflix.
It can't be just free.
Yeah. So if you're wondering why Kirk would do it again, I got an idea. And I'm not knocking him for it, but that's a man that likes to run his business.
Oh, yeah. He knows how to get paid. He definitely knows how to get paid.
Some interesting teams. I don't know what Darnold is, because I wonder if Darnold just got really well coached up by O'Connell last year and had Justin Jefferson and Addison, to your earlier point. Darnold looked damn good for 80% of the season last year, until those last couple games where he was seeing ghosts again. But you had Cooper Kupp. I believe in Mike McDonald. I think that defense will be quite good. Seattle's a little sleeper team to me.
Yeah.
But you're counting on Sam Darnold, at Lamphill's favorite player.
We'll see.
Well, B, we're sitting outside of a football stadium. We're almost there, man. We are 31 days till Washington plays football. How about that? Tomorrow, I can't think of who I could post for 30 days till Washington football. Maybe LaRon Landry.
Yeah.
Trung candidate, maybe?
You put Trung or LaRon, I'll shoot you.
Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Brian and JP here. If you want comfort and convenience wherever life takes you, then you need to turn the Rood. With Wi-Fi compatibility, you have full control of your heating and cooling system right from your phone. Forgot to turn down the heat before vacation? You can adjust it in seconds. Plus, you'll get alerts if something's not right. These guys are the best, and they've installed new systems in my house, and I felt the difference instantly.
Dog, I got to tell you, I wish we could get Jimbo up here to New England. Now, granted, we're sitting outside, but that dude, between Jimbo and Jim, they are HVAC specialists. They could cool us down out here.
Cool us down, baby.
All our computers, our phones. I'm worried about the Comrex. Everything's melting. Let's hope it doesn't melt in the next 8 minutes. But the best part, the thing that Rood does that really, really is a game changer. They control the humidity. And if you're in D.C. in the summer, you know that that humidity is a beast.
Yep.
D.C. humidity is like Freddy Krueger. And when you control the humidity, you can operate efficiently even in extreme conditions. They deliver comfort and performance perfectly balance. And B, you got to tell them about the tax money,
the
dude.
Cheddar.
Nobody likes paying Uncle Sam. And if you get a new Rood system, you could qualify for federal tax credits up to $2,000 on heat pumps through 2032. Check out Rood.com/federal incentives to learn more.
Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And remember, if it ain't Rood,
it ain't right. Giving away Volbeat tickets next.